Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 320. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
OriginManiac05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, I've got so much been playing. Maybe a middle segment thingy statement or not, because we already know where we stand. So it's like, whatever, dudes. Or maybe we could just be like, Aimless disagrees, or Aimless plays the devil's advocate, or something, something, Aimless, something, something. But yeah, that. And then some news and stuff. So, which I'm playing. I guess I'll go first again, because, yeah, why not, Tegan? So.
Well, if somebody else wants to go first.
Too bad I have to wait. I'm talking.
Super rude.
It's my effing show. Shut the F up. But, yeah. So.
Yowza!
I'm just kidding. But yeah.
Okay, those things.
I finished Volume, but I guess I'll talk about Arashika Tainted Bloodlines first. That game's weird.
You got it?
Yeah, it was on sale sometime.
I was going to buy it, and I didn't, because I was like, I don't want to play this.
And it was not what I was expecting, because it's got a bunch of weird Japanese-y stuff in it of, like, mating your characters and, like, just pumping out children. It's weird. Made me feel uncomfortable.
When it's not you, it's called breeding.
Yeah. You are breeding your characters. You're not actually mating.
You're breeding your characters with, like, these celestial beings. It was weird. I was like, dude, I feel uncomfortable. I'm not even playing that game anymore. It's like, it was weird.
They don't have a choice because they're bloodlines cursed. So they can only live for 2 years at a time.
Yeah.
And then they die.
It's like, yeah, they die super fast. And I was like, this is dark. This is dark. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to use child soldiers. And then they, like, die for, like, 2 years later. It's like, what's going on? This is weird. And then, like, that was weird. And then, like, it's way more dungeon crawlery than I thought it was going to be. And it's got turn-based fighting, but it's, like, Grandia style as far as, like, if you see an enemy and you go into them, you fight them. It's not all, like, walking along, active time babble, yeah. And then dungeons. They are, like, yeah, not so fun, because it's like, hey, this door's locked. Hey, don't know where the item's at? I'm not going to tell you. Have fun finding it. It could be anywhere in any of these dungeons in this game, and there's so many. It's like, dude, I ain't got time for this. I don't know. Maybe Destiny just got to me, and I was like, I can't do it. I just can't do this right now. I'll come back to you, Arashika, because I smell grind. It looks like grind. The wind's blowing grind, there might be a grind, and I'm kind of effing grinded out at this point, and get to the back of the line, because I've had enough already of your weirdness of me mating people and doing this thing, and I have, like, some weird weasel creature that got turned into, like, part human. It was weird. It's another weird Japanese thing. I was like, what the F is this? There's a weasel with a half-human? It's weird. Super weird. And there's, like, some ritual that they had to perform to, like, break the curse. Like, the schools were all... It was weird, dude. I was like, this is too Japanese for me, I guess. And I was just like, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I'm just going to delete this. I just deleted it off my Vita. I was like, I have nothing to play right now. And I don't take to play next week when he goes to play something else, because there's nothing on his Vita right now. Because, yeah.
Japan, you're so wacky.
It's like, thanks, Japan. And then, you know, other game I played. Actually finished, so scoring for Tekken. Yeah! Volume. All 100 stages of that game, because there's 100 stages in that game of just stealthiness. So, you know, if you're like RPG, you need to practice up in your stealth. There you go. If you like stealth games...
Basically, I should never play this game, is what you're telling me, because that's what it sounds like.
And if you like stealth games, check it out, because it's pretty cool. It was just like the different stuff that they do. They introduce different enemies, different sneaky mechanics that you can do. Like, they have this... I mean, they have, like, the whole invisibility thing that they, like, introduce in, like, the last 20 stages. It's like, oh, thanks, game. But they have, like, these thingies you can, like, throw, it makes sound, or, like, throw. I think they're called shinies or something. It's, like, a funny name. I forgot what they're called. But, like, when the guards look at them, they just, like, look at them. And it's like, ooh, what's this? You can just, like, walk into their field of view, and they don't even notice you. It's pretty funny. And, other things you can, like, throw and bounce off the walls and, like, make them explode and make noises. It's pretty cool. It's a cool exercise in, like... Oh, there's a stealth game with all these cool mechanics. See how you can't make it through 100 stages. And you can, like, make your own stages eventually, but I was like, I ain't got time for that. And then there's, like, some online thingy, but I was on my Vita, and I was like, I played at work, so it's like, I can't check this out. I played on my PS4, I guess, when I played the PS4 version, but... It was very... I enjoyed it. very much, and I would recommend it to anybody that likes stealth games, because it's all stealthy, all up in your stealthy, and it's like, yeah, you like stealthy? Here you go.
Oh my.
So if I was to give an art review, which I've not given in ages, it would be A Dark Night with No Wind, because it's there, but you can't hear it, and yeah, and then sneak up on you, and sneak by you, and you don't even see it, and it's like gone. It's like, oh, that was such a beautiful night. It just passed, and, you know, I won't remember it, but probably not because there's so many, you know. Anyway, what else did I...
What the hell? What the hell was that even?
Exactly, RPG. Exactly.
That didn't really answer my question. That didn't answer it at all. That did not answer it at all.
It can mean whatever you want it to mean. Woo! I forgot to talk about this game last week. Where's the thingy of it? Oh yeah, Hitman. So they had their first elusive target. It wasn't last week, but it was like a couple weeks ago. I forgot to talk about it last week, so I was like, oh, I completely forgot to play that game. But man, I enjoyed it. It was weird because basically the target is just like some random NPC in the stage, and like your Hitman vision of like usually when you look at your targets, they're like got the red outline on them, and they're immune to it. So it's like you just gotta find this person and kill him, and then get out of the stage, and that's like. It was, okay, there's more to it than that, but it's like, that's the gist of it, of like, find the target, kill the target, get out of the stage, like any other hit, and then like, but then because it's not any of the normal NPCs, it's like they're in a different area, there's different, you know, stuff going on, or there's different guards, the scenario changes, and it was cool because I messed up, and I thought, oh no, that's it, because it says like when you load it up, it's all Dark Soul style, like, you only get one chance, if you fail, you can't try it again, yada yada yada, like this weird stuff, and I was like, ooh, I like this, it's all high stakes. And then I messed up and I ended up restarting, and I was like, oh, you can just restart if you get in trouble, I guess, so, whatever.
Lied to you.
It kind of did. It's like, oh, if you get spotted, you're screwed, you can never do it again, blah, 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 so I was like, well, they might fix it next time and be like, okay, this time we're really gonna up the ante, so we'll see. But it's cool because the first time, the dude like went to this painting, and he was just like, oh, a painting, and like his guard like walked off. He had like a bodyguard. It's like the first Sarajevo 6 mission when the director dude has that dude following him. It's like, oh, how am I gonna kill this guy? Because he's got a personal security dude just following him. How am I gonna do this? So it's the same thing, except a different stage. And I was just like, this is like what I love about him. It's like I feel weird playing it because it's like, it kind of makes me feel like all creepy and voyeuristic. So I'm just like stalking someone and like, I'm going to kill this person, but they don't know it. And it's like, it's weird, but it's like so funny to me. It's like, all right, let's follow his whole route through the stage for like 20 minutes and see what he does. And then find the most opportune time to kill him. And then, so it's just like an exercise in that. And so, first time through, he like goes to the painting and is like, oh, and I'm like, okay, he's walking away. Let's see if he comes back. And then he came back, so I was like, okay, I can just sit here and try to take him out when he comes to check out this painting. And then I tried to like incapacitate his guard dude, but then he heard it. The target heard it. I was like, crap. Let me kill him before he gets. And it was cool. I have it on stream, but like basically, I caused a commotion. Things went bad, and I was like, that wasn't so smooth, Tekken. And it was cool, because, like, the next time I did it, is, like, he did something completely different. He was like, oh, let me check my phone. I was like, wait, he's not checking the painting. So it's, like, completely dynamic as far as, like, how the NPC is going to react when he gets to the environment of where you're probably most likely to kill him, or, like, the whole route probably is, like, just different stuff that he does when he does stuff. So it's like, yeah, like, you gotta be all Agent 47 and be like, I'm ready to kill him anytime, no matter what, and I'll take him down. And then I guess there's like another one coming out this Friday, so I'm super pumped for this. This is like my new favorite thing. It's just like these targets, you don't even like see where they're at. You just gotta canvas the stage and be like, oh, what's over here? Oh, it's over here. It's like basically just keep going through the stage and be like, where's he at? Where's he at? Oh, I found him. And then once you find him, it's like, oh, okay, what's this guy's little route to the stage. Oh, let me creepily voyeuristically watch him. Oh, I'm just gonna do this for like 20 or 30 minutes. It's, you know, it's just a game. Good thing nobody's watching me, because that'd be super weird. But hey, whatever.
I mean, I'm streaming it.
But yeah, you know, whatever. And just do that. But that's what I do anyway. And then, you know, if anything bad happens, just like, oh, let me just restart and just, you know, let things build up to the climax. And boom! Take him out. And yeah. It was great. And yeah. Hitman, still my jam. Oh, also, I think there's a new stage coming out next week, too, as well. Yeah, I forgot the stage. It was some word that I can't remember right now, so I'll look it up while someone else is talking. But
I feel really uncomfortable right now, anyway. It's cool.
Oh, and then there's a flash cell. Wow, flash cell, not flash cell. That's, I don't know what flash is, but that sounds weird. Flash cell on PSN, and I picked up a lot of things. I'm not going to get into it. It's whatever, dude. The one game a month rule is like through the window. I can do whatever the F I want. So yeah, I'm adulting all the time because I'm an adult. So, yeah, can't beat me and stuff.
I was actually going to like buy stuff, but I was like, no. There's too many games coming out. Just like I don't need more. So I didn't buy stuff which I should have. Maybe not. I don't know.
I bought too much, but I was like, at that point, I was like, I don't care. It's like $5 a game. That's the other thing. It's like every game was $5. It was like $5. I was like, everything is $5. That is like, that's like walking into like a magical, like bizarro GameStop where it's like, hey, person, check it out, dudes. Games. Guess what? $5. It's like, what? $5? Yeah, $5. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, dude.
$5.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Tekken. Just, yeah, pick whatever you want. Cause that's like 20 for $100, which is like less than 2 games. It's like, $20. And like, yeah, at that point, I was like, they had me. And I was like, thank you, PSN. Thank you, PlayStation. You guys are awesome. And I'm about to give you a lot of my money, and I did. We're not gonna get into it, though. Let's get back on track, though. Super Mega Baseball. This game. You know, I haven't played a sports game in years, and, like, beyond that, I haven't played, like, a baseball game in eons. I haven't played, like, a baseball game since, like, or, like, a Nintendo, or, I mean, video game baseball game since, like, NES. Like, way back in the 90s. Way back in the 90s. Wow. That came out. But it's, like, accurate. Oh, my God. Like, whatever. So, yeah. Back in the day, I played some...
We were really children in the 90s. Sweet, were we even...
Really sweet baseball game called, like, RBI something something. It has, like, one of those black Tengen cartridges. Anyway, I saw this game in the store. I was looking at it. I was like, ooh, it looks all arcadey and fun, which is, like, how I knew it would be fun, because I was, like, looking at it. And it wasn't like that lame like golf game of all like super realistic. Oh, look at these graphics. Blah, 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 blah. It's golf with no fun because it's got a stick up its butt. I was looking at this one. I was like, dude, it's all arcadey and fun. And I played it and it's amazing. It's like, I had so much fun. It's like, I think it was just such a good palate cleanse of like all that D game I've been playing. It was just like, oh, but then it was great because it's like, there's depth to it too because it's like the pitching. Since I just said, like, I haven't played sports, like, a sports game, be like, a baseball game, like, a long time, there's a lot going on, dude. So it's, like, there's, like, every, I think, motion on the right stick is basically, like, a pitch type. So it's, like, curveball, changeup, fastball, blah, blah, blah. And then it's cool because the mechanics of the pitching is, like, you have to time it on the cursor. So it's, like, the closer it's on the cursor, the better of a pitch it is. But then the placement of the cursor wherever you put it is, like, where it's going to be in the strike zone. If you throw it over the middle, it's really cool because, like, you have more chance of, like, the ball getting hit, A. And then B, you have to switch up your pitches because the hitters will basically, you know, be like, oh, I know this is coming. And, like, if you throw too many over the middle, it's like, oh, you could be throwing home runs all day because you're a terrible pitcher. So you have to, like, basically mix up your pitches, mix up your locations, and mix up, like, if you're going to throw a ball over a strike. It's like, oh, I might just purposely throw a ball to throw you off. Ha-ha, because you know what's coming next. Ooh, what am I going to do? So it's like, I was like, I thought that was just, like, awesome, because that basically made it, like, the boring part of the game, which is, like, you not hitting the ball. It's like, they made it super fun. I was like, oh, I actually like pitching, so it's like, I don't mind being up here throwing strikes. Ew. I mean, the only thing that sucked was, like, I was trying to stream it, and then, like, the game kept crashing when I was trying to stream it, so I was like, I'm just gonna play it offline. And it was amazing, and I was, like, destroying this team. I destroyed, like, two teams in a row. Like, I put it on, like, the super long season of, like, 70 games, and I'm like, yeah, Tekken's in it for the long haul on this one. Tekken and the, it's weird, we're, like, a bee mixed with some other animal as our mascot. I'll get back to you on that one, but yeah, it was a super fun time, and the pitching was awesome and fun, just as much as the hitting was. The hitting was, like, timing it when it goes over the pitch, the strike zone, and depending on the type of pitch, is depending on how well you hit the ball into wherever. So, Super Mega Baseball, thumbs up approval from me because it was a fun, good time, especially for $5. Totally worth all five of them. And yeah, I would totally spend that $5 again. So I might play another $5 game from the flash sale and be like, what did I think about next week? So look forward to that. And I played some Destiny, but yeah, whatever, it's Destiny. So I don't want to talk about it.
Because you love it?
I mean, just watch the stream, and that's all I got to say. Because I just need a 335 helmet. I got an exotic Ingram helmet. It decrypted to 334. And then Orcs gave me a helmet, and it was 334. And that's all I'm going to say. And I'm still 334. Whatever. That's all I've been playing.
Hilarious.
Who's going next?
Oh, the tropical was. Yes, he's gone.
Yeah. It's very noisy over here.
So I finished two games this week.
Yay, tropical.
On the board. So the first game I played, I think I talked about last week, or talked about starting it. I played through the campaign of Black Ops 3, which my only impression of it was, or from before playing it, was I guess Gamer said something about it being really easy, because at some point you get this skill where you can just make people throw up, because you're like part cyborg, basically. And then you can just take out huge bunches of enemies with just this one skill.
Weaponized vomiting.
It's like that riot police type sonic technology. I don't know. I didn't use it at all. I ended up mostly using. Yeah, I didn't know anything about this campaign. Apparently, there's three different skill trees, and each one has they affect like different types of units, I guess. The one I used a lot was the one that mostly affects machinery. So you can do things like hack into enemy robots and then they turn into your robots and then fight on your behalf. Or the thing I started using a lot, so that's what I used against robots. And the thing I started using against humans was, I guess everyone has sort of bionic suits and things like that. And you remember that scene in Iron Man 2? Where Tony Stark is showing off, or he's in Congress or whatever in a hearing, and he's showing off like what Hammer Industries robot did to some pilot. Basically, you can do that. Did that not make sense?
Well, I haven't seen Iron Man 2, so I have no idea.
Oh, well, so if you're wearing a robot suit, and then the robot can turn in whatever direction it wants because it's a robot, and so if you make it seize up, or make the joints go in the directions that human joints don't go, then you can incapacitate the pilot very easily. And I did that a lot to all the human combatants, and I just hacked into the robot combatants, and was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Actually, the game itself reminds me of Ghost in the Shell a lot. It's a really...
Really?
That, yeah,
it's, now it's you have like my interest peaked, Tropical. That's all you had to say. It's like, well, actually, campaign. It's a bit cyberpunk, like Ghost in the Shell. And now I'm like, wait, Call of Duty? What? Really? No. Because Gamer talked about it. He's like, it's weird. It's weird. That's like all he said. It was like, it's weird. It's weird. Make people vomit. Super weird at the end. You go inside people's brains, minds, or something. It's like, yeah. Yeah. I can see where you're going with that, though.
That's like Ghost in the Shell, because it starts and... Let's see what happened. So you're basically like commandos and stuff in the beginning, and you're fighting off robots and stuff. It's like, okay, it's the feature. And then like,
it's the feature, we fight robots.
Bad stuff happens to your character, and so you become cyberized basically. And then with that comes with, you know, computer chips in your brain and being able to access computers with your mind and stuff. And then it gets into, you know, that Ghost in the Shell type stuff where it's like, okay, so are we still who we are? Or, like, are our minds really our own? Like,
no.
Just like those sort of questions of identity and the soul and, like, who has control over stuff. It gets pretty trippy. And there's a few levels that were really cool. I'm not going to give it away, but essentially, like, Treyarch, who made Black Ops 3, they were the ones who did World at War back in the day, the World War II one. And they had a mechanic that I don't think Modern Warfare or any of the other ones have, where there are sections of the game where the enemies spawn infinitely. And the only way to make them stop is to push past a certain point in the level. And, like, if you're playing on the higher difficulties, basically you're just, like, it's like trench warfare, and you're just, like, slowly killing your way through until finally you reach that point, and then something else happens, and then maybe you have to do it again. And so I think they've had that in all of their Call of Duty games, and this one has that too, and it's like, but they did it in a different way, and it's like, because it doesn't make sense in Modern Warfare to have just tons and tons and tons of soldiers. So yeah, like, they did it in a different way here. It's like, oh, that's kind of neat. And man, the campaign is pretty trippy. So yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So I'm done with that game. I don't think I'm going to play the multiplayer at all. Maybe, but yeah. Oh, they also tied it back to Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 1 and World at War. So it's not just Black Ops 3 in name only. There's some stuff from previous games in it. It's like, oh, cool. Then I rented Doom for 5 days, and I didn't actually get to play it till the last day. But the last day, I sat through and played through the entire campaign, and it was awesome. This Doom is so good. It's like Wolfenstein, The New Order was really good. And this feels like it was good, I guess, in that way. Like, it feels like old Doom, but they've modernized it in a way that, like, I think is really clever. There's sort of like, there's like a small gameplay loop basically every second. Essentially it's, so traditional Doom is you run around and you shoot demons. And this is, yeah, you run around and shoot demons. But they add a twist to it where, as if you get them down to a certain level of health, you can go up and do, I think, what they call a gory melee kill. And when you do that, there's a cool animation, pretty brief, but, like, yeah, super gory. And then they always drop health when you do that. So if you just shoot them to death, they may or may not drop health and ammo. If you do the gory kill, you always get health. And then there's the chainsaw. And the chainsaw, they've mapped it, like, how does it work? So there's the melee button, which is R3. Chainsaw pulled out, or you push square to pull out the chainsaw. And then whenever you use a chainsaw on someone, they always drop like a ton of ammo. And the bigger the monster, the more fuel it takes to chainsaw them. And then it's not like a meter of fuel. It's like, individual units. So instead of like having 100 fuel, it's, I think it's something like 6. And then it just takes off a certain number of them depending on how big the enemy you just chainsawed was. And then they always blow up into this fountain of like tons of different types of ammo. And so there's sort of this like little strategic loop where you're going around like, okay, I'm going to shotgun all these guys because that's fastest, but then I'm going to need health. So I'm going to kill that one and then do the gory melee, get some health back. And as you're doing this, every once in a while, you have to switch to your chainsaw and be like, yeah, I need ammo now. And then do the chainsaw thing. And just like, it is fantastic. The levels are really neat because, how to explain? I guess, yeah, it's like old school Doom. There's sort of corridors. Like Doom 3 was all corridors, right?
I haven't played Doom 3.
As I understand it, it was like, you know, Doom was the corridor shooter from back in the day. But then this one, there's these huge open areas, which are sort of like arenas, except they're not just huge and open. They're filled with all these different pathways. So it's like having corridors in this giant open arena area. And there's like a lot of the segments of the game, you have to kill everything in the area before you can proceed. And you would think, oh, well, that would be boring if you're fighting in a room with like waist high cover or, you know, the other stuff. But the way they did in this one, it's just like all these looping pathways and stuff. And it feels like I guess it kind of feels like a multiplayer level. Except it's just you against tons and tons of demons. And so, yeah, it feels really good. Man, what else to say about this? Weapons feel really good. Just everything felt really good. And the campaign, the story was pretty interesting. I don't know how much I can say about it without giving, but there is a story, and it's, I guess if you're a Doom fan, it's most interesting, and there's revelations, and you're just like, oh, that's neat. But I guess I can say the premise, right? So the premise is this company, they are harvesting the energies of hell, and then through some process that they've developed over the years, they purify it into an inexhaustible source of energy that they sell to Earthlings.
How exactly did I think that was going to be a good idea? I'm just curious, because it's like, I feel like the first part of that plan, they were just like, hey guys, I have this brilliant idea. Let's harvest energies from hell. Because I guess, this sounds like the best plan ever. Like, I feel like someone should have been like, wait, this might not be a good idea, guys. Might not be a good idea.
I'm in-game, the characters involved are like, yeah, we had no choice. Like, basically, the energy crisis was so bad that we needed something, and when we found this, that's it was great. Like, oh my gosh. So,
that is great.
This it's was like,
all right, dude.
Totally free.
Petroleum. We're like out. There's like nine.
Guys, we're like out of every type
solar
of energy ever. So.
That's so efficient. Like, we thought it would be win, same thing. It's like, all it's tough, it's not a magic bullet. It didn't work. So we need energy, dudes, because that's how our society works. And we're down to, like Dire Straits here, dudes. We need a plan.
Like, oh my God. I feel like there were so many other options. Like, I don't know.
Hell
I feel
energy,
like it
guys.
Could never, hell it could energy. Never be bad enough where it's like, you. Hey, let's accidentally open up the gates of hell and unleash it on her. There's no way that could be worse than our energy crisis, guys. So yes, let's do this. Like,
on the one hand, unfortunately, we'll solve the crisis, but unfortunately, we're gonna open a portal to hell and not be able to close it. Things go bad. Like, really bad.
I mean, a few demons won't kill anybody. It's totally cool.
That is not actually how it goes bad. Like, you would think that that's how it goes bad, but that's not how it goes bad. In fact, like, the game really starts and you just have no idea what's going on. And then, well, obviously demons are around, but, you know, you're not bothered by that, being the player, because you're just like, well, of course, it's Doom. Of course there are demons around. And, you know, that's why the first thing I did was pick up this gun and shoot those two demons, and then I'm getting progressively bigger and bigger guns and shooting bigger and bigger demons. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't bother you. But as you get to certain points in the campaign, it's like, oh, that's right. I guess it is, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but I guess it is weird that there are demons running around Mars. And you find out, it's like, oh, okay, so, well, can't say more, but yeah, like, it seems kind of reasonable.
Just wondering, Tropical, did you ever play the Duke Nukem Forever game?
I played, like, the beginning part of it.
Okay, because I'm going to, like, ask, like, with, like, Wolfenstein and Doom, like, the way that they, like, reinvented themselves for, like, a modern era, like, what were the shortcomings of, like, Duke Nukem Forever? Was it just a bad game, like, across the board?
No, like, the problem with Duke Nukem Forever was that everything in it was outdated by the time it came out. So if you could imagine a world where Half-Life doesn't exist.
So if like if you think like if they gave it another shot and it just didn't get like delayed like it became like somewhat vaporware like that one did, they could do something like Doom and Wolfenstein have done and like make a modern version not terrible.
Yeah, I think they could. Well, caveat, it depends on what was special about Duke Nukem.
I think that's a good point, because I think he is like what made that game so bad. It's like he is just like a 90s pop culture.
Yeah.
dated
like
references.
If people really like the sort of crassness, I guess, of that, and that is, then, you know, if that was the draw and people still like that, which I don't think a lot of people do, then they could make a remake, or not a remake, but yeah, a modern version.
Or they could just reskin him and make him Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, I said it. What? What? Yeah. Yeah. Mic drops.
I suppose they could do that. But people wouldn't... It would have to be a free-to-play game. Because I don't think people would buy it.
I would.
They would like to see it, and it would be funny for a little bit. But, yeah. No money for that one.
And then, like, he wouldn't use guns, because, like, it'd be like, I'm just going to say things and things straight out of my mouth, because I say words, because I'm a jerk. Build that wall. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I can help myself. I can help myself.
Yeah, Doom, it just...
Second, we don't do politics on Aimless Podcast. Watch it.
Doom was sort of like, you know, really fast-paced. It was about these ridiculous big guns. It was about sort of almost a little bit about the character. You know, it's crazy. Like, the game communicates the character that you play as really well in Doom. Like, in the Wolfenstein, modern take on Wolfenstein, you get to see the character, and he talks, and, you know...
Oh, that's so a good point, you know, get a much better feel for it. You actually are, like, BJ Blazkowicz in that game, whereas, like, in Doom, you've always been, like, a nameless, faceless space marine.
Yeah, and so you are cool, like, you're still, like, nameless and faceless, but you just, like... somehow, you, like, you know the guy, just, like, by the way he moves, by the terrible things he does to demons. And just, like... The way he almost seems excited every time he gets a new gun. Like,
that is cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And it's still, like, super fast-paced, like, back in the day. Although, and I don't know how they did this, like, back in the day, Doom made me kind of motion sick, and this one, like, does not at all. And it's, like, the acceleration of the character is sort of, it's, like, weird in a way. And I think that has to do with it. It's like, wow, I'm moving super fast, and I'm just, like, looping around, and, you know, the demons can't track you as fast as you can circle strafe them. So you're just, like, running laps around the guy, you know, just unloading your shotgun into him, and they can barely keep up just, you know, facing your direction. And yet, it's like, oh, it feels so smooth, and I've been playing for hours, and I don't feel sick. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's actually, if it had a different pace, it would basically be Dead Space. But, yeah, just the pace of the game and the way that everything is, like, it is definitely not Dead Space. It is definitely Doom. And it's like,
I never thought of that. That's a really good analogy for, like, Doom and Dead Space. Is like, Dead Space is so slow and horror-y for the tension. But Doom is, like, so fast-paced in action that they are, like, a really good,
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit.
They're very... If you took out gameplay and you're just, like, going through the environments, you'd be like, huh, is this Dead Space or Doom? There's blood everywhere. There's just, like, ripped-apart people everywhere. There's, like, fleshy-looking things on the walls and everywhere.
Things aren't going well.
You're looking for keys to get into places. You know, security is,
every
like,
door is locked.
Getting in your way.
You can't find the keys.
But yeah, Dead Space is slow, and you your weapons are not as powerful, and Doom is like,
well,
fast,
technically
and
weapons
are super powerful.
They're just things you slap together as an engineer. You're like, this will have to do.
It's funny. Doom, the first gun you get is a pistol, and then immediately after you get a shotgun, and then the shotgun is like the first weapon you get. And it just got me thinking, like, man, there should be a list out there about, like, the best shotguns in video games.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I haven't looked. But yeah, I was thinking, like, the Killzone shotgun feels really good. And this shotgun, by the end, I started realizing, well, the shotgun was the second gun they gave me. So it's actually probably one of the weaker weapons in this game. Like, man, that's crazy. Because I used it for so much of the game. Oh, it's really neat. Like, over the course of the game, you find upgrades and stuff for your weapons. I don't, like, original Doom didn't have anything like that, right? You just walked around and found new guns and key cards. There's a lot of reason to explore the environments in the new Doom. One of the things is just, like, so... There are points that you can, or there's like these little drone things that you find. And then those allow you to buy certain mods for your guns. So for example, like the shotgun you start out with, it's kind of a regular shotgun, but then you can buy a mod that makes it rapid fire 3 shots in a, like a tighter spread. And then, the other one is like it fires an explosive round or something. So once you have these mods, you go around and do like combat challenges in each of the maps. And that's basically like, what's a game that has something like that?
Like what?
I'm trying to think of, basically like the more demons you kill, you fill up the, it's like, I guess it's mostly in free to play games. Like, you know, there's like star ratings in like Angry Birds, for example. You get up to a certain score and you get 1, 2, or 3 stars.
Actually, Quake was like that, but it wasn't like a rating, it was just like a percentage of like the enemies that you killed on the stage.
Oh. Okay, yeah, it's basically that, but it's like, if you kill all the demons in the stage, you get 5 of these upgrade points. And, you know, I guess every 20% you lose 1. And then the demon, you use those to buy upgrades to the mods to your weapons. And eventually, you get to a point where it's like, okay, you've bought all the upgrades to the mod. Now there's a challenge. And for the shotgun, for example, like, you have to kill 5 of these giant, like, fat-looking demons with different types of bazooka-type weapons on their arms. And if you kill 5 of them with, like, the triple tap on the shotgun, then it upgrades that so that if all 3 shots hit an enemy, then it increases the strength of the shotgun for every shot afterwards. Or my favorite one is the heavy assault rifle. Like, it's the mod I bought for it was that it fires these little explosive rounds that stick. It's like the needler. It like sticks to the enemy and then they explode. And initially, it takes a long time. There's like a long cooldown between each shot that you can fire. But then once you upgrade it and complete the challenge, the cooldown is all gone. So you can essentially fire these things infinitely without reloading ever. And it's like, oh, this is so powerful. There was a boss fight where I used it and then died. And was like, I have no idea what the mechanics of this boss fight are because I basically unloaded those little explosive rounds into it, and it lost a lot of health. Unfortunately, I lost more of my health first. And so when I came back and I didn't know, like, I didn't have the ammo anymore, I was like, I don't know how to play this boss. I haven't seen what it does. It took me a while. I died many times before I figured out its pattern. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, it's just lots of little upgrade things and... so good. Eventually, when it's cheap, I will buy it so I can play it more.
Don't do it, it's a trap.
Because unlike Black Ops 3, like, I want to play Dune's campaign again. Because it was really cool. So yeah, those are the two that I finished. Overwatch came out this week. I got that and started playing it Monday night. Still as good as in the beta. And I guess there's not much to say about Overwatch.
There's so much to say.
No one I know, or I guess Gamer got it. I haven't played with anyone that I know yet.
Gamer on a whim. That was a great
Gamer bought it.
He just like ran out.
He was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, like screenshot, like oh, it's downloading. Yeah. Like, Gamer, that's not at all. Stop buying a game.
It was crazy. Like all this week, or all the previous week before Overwatch came out, I was playing Battleborn, trying to, you know, beat it. And after I finally beat it, I sat down. I was like, man, I really want Overwatch to come out. And I just like watched the animated shorts of Overwatch like over and over again. I think Alive and Dragons is probably the two best ones. Recall and Hero were kind of eh. I bought the collector's edition, which is like, man, Blizzard makes really nice collector's editions. Like the Overwatch collector's edition is probably the heaviest one I've ever held.
Why, what kind
and of? I guess it's the Soldier 76 statue inside. I haven't actually opened the statue yet. But even the box, like the cardboard is thicker and it feels like higher quality than a lot of collector's editions. Just, man, it's great. Art book. The thing I took out, because the servers weren't up when I got it, was like, oh, the soundtrack. And I just like listened to the soundtrack for a few hours before the game came out. I was like, yes, now it's out. And then I played like 5 games. Like, okay, that's it for now. I need to finish Doom. But man,
hey, where'd you rent Doom from?
I rented Doom from my local video rental brick and mortar place.
That still exists?
I live in a small town.
They have stuff like that here, I think. I should never go to them because I don't need to. So.
Interesting. Yeah, because I have not seen one of those in like years now. So it's weird.
Not since the time of Blockbuster. Rip.
Basically.
Yeah, here, I don't know. It's just, it is amazing to me that it exists. And it's, I think they understand that they're sort of lucky too. Because they're constantly doing deals. And sending me coupons like, oh, half off for a month. And so I was like, oh, so you're saying I can rent Doom for $3 for 5 days. I was like, where else can you do that? It's like, nowhere. And, yeah, no, the weird part, I guess I haven't really lived in that many small towns. This one is basically like, if you go Friday night, the rental store is packed. Because I guess there's not really anywhere else to go.
Well, it makes sense, because since stuff doesn't, like, exist like that, if you just want to, like, get something, wow, my brain just farted. But, like, when you get something temporary like that, and just, like, take it back, like, you don't need to, like, buy it full price. You can just, like, oh, yeah. This movie's terrible, I don't own it forever.
Yeah.
And Netflix doesn't have everything, and Redbox doesn't have everything, so it's, like, you know, selection. Selection counts for something.
Yeah, I rented, Everest. I was going to buy Everest, and then I was like, no, I'll just rent it. And I rented it and found out that it's a true story, and it's, like, terrible. not the movie, just, like, what happens.
Like the situation.
It's, like, a tragedy.
There are a lot of movies like
and
that.
And I was like, wow, that was way unexpected.
Like, also, based on a true story. It's like, oh, well, that's awful for those people.
No, at the end, it just, like, tells you what happened to each of the people.
Even better.
And it was just like,
even better.
Most of them was like, oh, they're still there.
Yeah. Well, maybe they aren't, because
at least I was like, wow.
At least not in one piece.
So yeah. Well, this week I rented the Ninja Turtles game, so haven't tried it yet. We'll see.
See, that would be cool if like I could just like play game, like, and I get it sooner than Gamefly, and I don't have to worry about like crappy Redbox selection. It's like, oh, this game just came out. Awesome. So I don't have to spend $60 and I can just see if it's terrible or not. And, you know, I might play for 30 minutes and be like, have my decision made. So, as opposed to seeing so many ho-hum reviews about it and be like, I guess I'll wait until it's $20 on the store. Whatever.
I know, right? I'm like, I don't know if I want to now. It's like, can you just rent it somewhere? No. That doesn't exist.
It's funny. Because I guess less so now. Reviews used to be like, oh, this one is a rent. And I used to always read those and be like, see, because it was in the heyday of rentals. Like, see, that this is a problem. Is when the rental places see the reviews say this is a rent, they don't stock the game. They only want to stock the ones that people want to buy, and I guess just don't have the money to. So when you say that it's a rental, basically, that's telling people, you might want to play this game, but you can't.
Because of reasons.
Anyways, yeah, so the MOBAs in my life, Battleborn and Paragon, both got updates recently. Paragon, so they're having an open, like a free open weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you sign up?
I mean, they already sent me the invite thingy, so I'm assuming it just happens as long as I'm, like, a part of their thingy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just never participated yet, because it's always, like, when I'm at work and then when I get home, I'm like, eh. Yeah. So then I never end up playing it. So, I mean, I want to try it this weekend, though, since they're doing it, but, yeah.
It is. It's crazy. So, well, actually, in addition to Paragon, Doom, both of these games have shown me, and I guess I always knew this, but it's shown me very concretely that games really don't come together until the very end. Because I was playing Doom, and I didn't want to wait for the online, like, for day one patch to download, so I just started playing the campaign. And then it was like, there was terrible performance issues, like screen tear all over the place, and it was just, it didn't look that good. I was like, oh man, this is terrible. But so I jumped out, installed the patch, and then started again. I was like, wow, all the issues are gone. It's like, that is crazy. So what you're saying is, if you don't have online, if you don't have internet, like, you are playing an inferior version of Doom right now. Of course, since you don't have internet, you did not hear that either. Paragon is sort of like that too, where it's like, we've been playing for, it's been a few months, and like, when I first started playing, there was a ton of sort of placeholder stuff. So like, the HUD was very cluttered and difficult to use, and my favorite was, there's a mechanic where you kill these like neutral minions in the middle and you get this orb. And then if you deliver the orb to a spot on the opposite side of the map, you get a sort of buff. Like, the whole team gets a buff, and it's the most powerful buff in the game. So, but they didn't have like a graphic or anything for it yet. So basically, if you got it, you just saw the words OP buff like on your character, sort of hovering there. It was really funny. Now it actually has, there's an effect. It's like, everyone has these blue flames coming off of them, and you're super powerful. It does things like, what's the one I'm using? I think it gives me like 1,000 more health. So like, doubles my health usually at that level, and 100 plus damage or something. It's insane. But yeah, like, the game is really coming along. There's a new update. I think there are two updates within the last 3 days. The newest one, well, I don't know when they added it, but there's music in the game now. There was no music for most of the game. And I was like, oh wow, there's music playing. I was like, that's so cool. And, they're adding sort of the stuff that eventually make them money now. So they're making different skins for all the characters. And they have like this list.
We're making our game into a cha-ching machine. Yes. Over an epic. We're gonna drink.
Here we go.
F them in the B.
It's sort of cool. Like, they talked about the different tiers of skins that they're working on. And it's like, tier one and two are sort of, like, tier one is like, okay, basically it's all the same materials and the model is exactly the same and everything is the same.
Tier one, whatever.
It's just like, yeah, it's like a color swap. And then tier two is like, okay, then you start doing like, maybe there's sort of different parts of the armor, and so there'll be different shapes on it. And it goes all the way up to like tier five, where it's like, yeah, these are like total makeovers, totally new materials, totally new model. Totally new voiceovers, totally new...
You'll be throwing money at the screen. Yes. Money, dear boy. Money.
It's true. But wait, Paragon, is Paragon free to play?
Yep.
Once it gets released? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. Remember that one time we were talking about it, and then we're like, you can go into the store and buy it, and then there'll be people like, wait a minute. I spent money.
the fake out edition.
Like, surprise.
It was like, when people hear free to play, they're like, no, I don't want to play it. So we're putting it in a box for them to pay for $60. And they'll be like, oh, cool.
This is it's totally from the an makers
of Gears of War.
And it is nothing like Gears of War at all.
Third person. The camera angle. Yes.
Yeah, at this point, I'm starting to get into the deck building part, which is basically your equipment.
Deck building?
Yeah,
that the deck building like a card game. I'm all in, but I'm not paying. The
game is so complex, but it's so cool. Like, today I was thinking that, oh, maybe I should make a, and I'm not an expert, but maybe I could make a game or a, like, video or a write-up about, or it's like a MOBA school for console players who have never played MOBAs.
That's a great name. MOBA school for console players.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, like, how would you start teaching this? And I think Paragon, the thing that you have to start with is learning to read the screen, because the screen is kind of, like, there's a lot of stuff on the screen, and it's not immediately apparent what a lot of it means. And, you know, there's, like, a ton of little icons on the map, and, yeah, those things aren't apparent. There's just, like, so many things to learn. I mean, this is the game that I was talking about, right, where it was, like, 8 hours in, it's like, okay, now I yeah, finally understand how to play it.
I know how to move my character now. It's only been 8 hours, but it's fine. It's fine, yes. It's fine.
But with my MOBA school, you'll know in 5 minutes. That's even faster than 8 minute abs, guys. Even faster. Just saying. Just saying.
I mean, I think it's, so this is more going on to Battleborn now. Like, Battleborn really does, like, Paragon does not play like a shooter or anything you've played before, unless you've played MOBAs. Battleborn does play like things you've played before. It plays kind of like Borderlands, basically. And what is really different about it when you're playing PvP is that sort of objective stuff. And so the way you think about winning the game is different. And, I guess Borderlands doesn't really have PvP.
Of course it does.
Not really.
You, like,
yeah, duels, like, don't count.
It's like, hey, I demand satisfaction. Demand it.
But, like, if you think about any shooter that has, you know, a third party, like, AI-controlled enemies also on the field, those people don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Most of them, it's like, oh, you just go around, and if you see minions, it's like, ah, whatever. And you're just trying to kill the other people or the people on the other team. And yeah, like, Battleborn is not like that at all. And it's interesting in my mind when I'm playing, it's like, yeah, it feels mechanically you're doing the stuff that you do in shooters, but strategically it is very different. Even more so than in Destiny. Like, Destiny felt strategically different than Call of Duty. Call of Duty was just like, just keep running in there. They can't kill you every time. Sometimes you'll kill them. And Destiny was like, don't do that. If you do that, you give them so many points. Like, sometimes in Destiny, you just gotta run away and heal up because you got shields and all that. So, you know, don't force it. Try to pick, you know, advantageous battles.
Basically, it's okay to be a coward. Just
yeah, pretty much. And Battleborn is like even more so, because not only do you give them points if you get killed by them, you also give them experience, and then they level up. And like in every game, higher levels means more power. And so if they keep leveling up by killing you, then you will basically never be able to kill them.
Because they have unlimited power.
Oh, actually, there was a bug in the game where you could have unlimited supers, but Bungie didn't put it in the Wii Bungie thingy. They just said, oh, unlimited rockets. But then, like, when the hotfix came out, it's like, unlimited rockets and unlimited supers. It's like, wait a minute. And I was like, wait, unlimited power? There was an unlimited power bug? No! Just, whatever. I was like, yeah, whatever, Bungie, whatever.
Like, missed opportunity. I
missed opportunity.
So yeah, Battleborn, just the strategy is very different. And I wonder if that's what we're moving towards now. It's just, you know, now that we've sort of gotten down moving around in first person and shooting stuff on consoles, like, they want to add things that have more complexity. And so, you know, it's gotten to the point where just, like, shooting other players is like the lowest level skill you can have in the game. That's just like the base level of skill. And then beyond that, they want to add things that make it sort of strategically interesting.
I agree with what you just said, Tropical, because I just watched this video on YouTube about StarCraft players and how, like, their actions per minute or whatever. Basically, all the plays that they're spinning, like, at one point in time when they're playing that game of, like, you know, you have your resources you're harvesting, the tech that you're building towards, your units, where your units are going, what your units are doing, attacking, defending, yada yada. Like, you have, like, all these things that you're doing. So, like when you say that, like, that's like a perfect analogy to me, like, of the raid in Destiny, of, like, why it's so, like, fulfilling from a player standpoint, of, like, why I love to do them, and, like, why it's so fun, like, Vault of Glass orcs or whatever, like all of them, just because like you have so many mechanics at the same time that you have to like be juggling in your brain of like while we're doing this thing. I mean, yeah, you have to like shoot the thing in the glowy spot, but like there's all sorts of stuff that's happening that like builds to that, or that you have to do before you get to that point to like actually be able to like do the raid in the game. It's like you got to take the shields, got to go through the portals, got to cleanse people, shoot the oracles. It's like no, you don't just shoot Atheon in the belly button. There's stuff you got to do to be able to shoot him in the belly button. You know, the orcs, it's a whole other can of worms with orcs. So it's like, oh, we're gonna like spawn all these enemies. Have fun. Oh, those knights, make sure they don't eat the orbs. Got to kill the ogres. Hope you get the ogres in like close at the same spot. You're gonna detonate the orbs, and then you gotta be in the aura, not get blown up. Shoot his thingy so that it can take damage, and then oh, good job, you did it. Yeah. So yeah, the evolution of where FPS is going, I could definitely see why they would, or like where like why I could see like why this MOBA thing has like escalated from like just, you know, straight up FPSs of like why. They're like very similar to like what we played before, but this is just like the, I guess, the next evolution of like where it's going.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about that too, as far as like in Call of Duty, it used to be like your, when you picked a character, it was like your perks, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like more of like a hero type thing or operator, whatever. And they have like specific abilities of like, oh, this person is this person, blah, blah, blah. Or just if you like Rainbow Six Siege and like it's basically that. So I could see like where that came from after you just said that. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, was it easy to pick up, hard to master type thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because Call of Duty, like, they still... I feel like to be good in Call of Duty, you just have to be super good at the very basic thing. So just, like, shooting other people, and, like, especially now with all the movement stuff that they've added, like wall running and, like, these crazy high jumps and stuff like that, you have to be good at using that stuff with the shooting, and that's pretty much it. But then, you know, with Battleborn and Paragon and stuff like that, like the shooting and all that is kind of easy. And, you know, very simply, if you've played any shooter, it's like, oh yeah, just walk up and push the trigger and it shoots. And so, you know, like that sort of base skill is very simple to pick up. But then in order to master it or just like be anywhere proficient in the game, it's like, that's not enough. Like, you have to understand the strategy and know, say, like, okay, if I run in there and keep dying, it's not just like, oh, I'm distracting them. It's like, no, you're like feeding them tons of XP. And so now they're like four levels ahead of us. So we can shoot them 15 times and they shoot us twice and we die and nothing happens to them. I think that's going to be, it might be a pretty high learning curve when these games are actually out. Like Battleborn, what I've seen is a lot of people tend to gravitate towards like high damage characters and healers because those are sort of easy to understand.
DPS. Yeah. It's all about DPS and support. Just heal me. Just heal your team. It's like I do. Just don't die and heal people. Come on. You can do it.
And then, like as I've played more, I've noticed like, oh, people are like paying attention now. So, you know, if they're low on health, they don't just run in and like suicide and try to take out as many people as they can. It's like, oh, now it's time to run or like teleport back home.
Decepticons retreat.
And so, yeah, I was like, oh, once you understand the strategy, it's like, wow, this is, the games are interesting on a different level than just sort of mechanically and like sort of that visceral experience. It's like more, cerebral, I guess. Is that all I played? Maybe. Just those four?
I don't know. I wasn't at your house.
Oh, five, I guess, with Overwatch. Yeah.
Yeah, that was everything that you said. That's all pre-show, playing. Doom, Black Ops 3, Paragon, Overwatch, Battleborn, and, yeah.
Doom, man. Did you play Wolfenstein?
No, not yet. I bought it, though.
So you have it. Yeah, you can wait on Doom. I don't think it's going anywhere. but yes, like in the way that I thought Wolfenstein was really awesome, even though I haven't finished that one, like Doom was really awesome. Just such a good modern take on Doom. And that's single player. I don't think I could get through old Doom's single player. Because it's mostly about, oh, it's like this maze that you walk through and until you find everything. And this was just, so much more engaging. The combat was really engaging. Like, yeah, the shooting is easy, but then they added that strategic layer on top of it. It's like, oh, so that's a neat thing to be thinking about all the time. And, oh, just like in Rage, did you ever play Rage?
I have it on Steam, but I have not played it. It's a backlog. The massive backlog that knows all games.
Enemy animations in Rage were so cool. Like, they were just really good and varied. And it made those enemy characters feel alive. And, like, Doom has that too. I mean, they made both games. And, yeah, Doom's demons seem alive and they're doing interesting stuff as they're moving around and shooting at you. And it's like, oh, man, this is crazy. It's so good. Didn't even touch Snapchat, Snap Map, which is their sort of little big planet type tool. Didn't touch multiplayer. It was just single player. It was like, that alone was just amazing. And I played it on one of the lower difficulty settings, so crank it up. I have no idea what kind of game that's gonna be like.
It's gonna be amazing.
So fun. Black Ops? Yeah, might check it out. So what are the characteristics of cyberpunk?
Lots of cyborgs.
It depends. Like, for me specifically, it would be in a future where we're like advanced very technologically, but we're not spacefaring yet because we have like we don't have the resources for it. So it's like we're kind of like landlocked on Earth, but we are like extremely advanced technologically.
because we've basically squandered
all our resources, we're kind of like stuck here. But we're like, it's kind of like, if you've seen Interstellar, it's like that, but if it was like more futuristic and like not as far as like the weather, super crazy.
But they're in space.
You mean the part on Earth?
Yeah, but they're stuck on Earth, practical. They're not like really super, you know. They're not taking mass relays all over the place. It's like they have, you know, like that one thing, that space station.
Oh, that's right.
And then like you also have like the fusion of like the transhumanism, as far as like, you know, people being half
cyborgs or robots.
Yeah, technology fused into humanity. But we still have our humanity. We're not like, you know, full cyborg yet, just like walking around.
Do we though? Do we still have our humanity?
That's what makes cyberpunk so good. That's why it's so good.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of like that. Like setting wise though, there are settings in the game that aren't, I guess, like plot wise, character wise, it's very cyberpunk. Setting wise, it's sort of, you know, like destroyed cities and things like that. So that doesn't feel cyberpunk-ish to me. Ghost in the Shell, they use pretty conventional weapons as well. And that's definitely cyberpunk. Yeah, I playing through it is like, this is pretty cool, and yeah, it has that cyberpunk feel, so maybe Tekken would check it out. But what does Call of Duty stand for now? You know, Call of Duty, like, they called it that because it was about the greatest generation and their war against the Nazis. And, you know, so World War II, all those games, like, yeah, and it was about, unlike Medal of Honor, you were just one guy in this giant army. And then it started doing, like, modern stuff. It's like, well, modern warfare doesn't have the giant armies anymore. It's like these small strike teams and like specialists, and you just don't need to send in tons of guys. And so we've gotten to the point where it's like, well, now they want to do future tech stuff so they can do wall running and things like that, and it still feels grounded, I guess. But what is Call of Duty then?
What do you mean?
Is it just not laser guns? As long as it's not laser guns, it's Call of Duty?
I think it's just the, what's that word called? Something, something arms, small arms. It's like not anything super crazy. It's just like just the standard assault rifle, pistol, sniper rifle.
As long as it's rifles that shoot bullets, we're okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be laser guns in Infinite Warfare. Because that's definitely going to space. And as far as I can tell, it doesn't have
I mean, they have three different teams working on them, so they could just, like, have one splinter off towards, like, future laser beam weirdness, but I think at the end of the day, Call of Duty, like,
Infinite Warfare is the third one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Ghosts and Black Ops Hero.
Ghosts was kind of modern, but then Black Ops 2 was definitely the future.
That's
Black Ops
thing
3
about Black
is
Ops
definitely
is
the
like
future.
It's like they started in Vietnam, and they're all the way to the future now, so it's like, where do they go with that? Where do they go with that series? That's so weird.
They go to the super
and then, like, you have Treyarch with, like, Infinite Warfare, where it's, like, kind of future-y, but still kind of contemporary, because it's still small arms fire, or small arms weapons, so it's, like, I guess maybe that's what Infinite Warfare, or, like, where Call of Duty is. It's It's based on modern, so it's like it's always going to be modern tech that they're using. They're not going to go full fantasy sci-fi laser weaponry until they like want to do that. It's like, okay, you're still going to have like M4s, MP5s, P90s, like all the weapons that people use in modern times today. It's like that's what they're going to have, and like maybe
cause I probably played, just add extra tech to them or something.
Yeah, I haven't played Black Ops 2, so like maybe they just like somehow like futurize them or put like their futurist spin on like what they think the guns are going to be like 20 to 30 years from now. And, like, that's
so, I mean, there's a good chance that like laser weapons aren't like going to actually be practical. So it's like people have these things in like these sci-fi things, but it's like in the future, it's a good chance these kind of weapons aren't actually what's going to happen. It probably will just be like more modernized versions of the guns you already have that just have like fingerprint scanning or some other stuff like that. But it's like, I feel like laser weapons might not be practical, especially with how dangerous something like that would be. Like, how would you train somebody without,
it's like entire armies of these things? Like, how would that work?
It's like that would be just.
That's kind of like the thing with, like, that's kind of like the thing with Black Ops 2 is like if there's like drones that like got hacked and it just like they all started targeting people. Like, oh guys, we let the genie out of the bottle on that one. Whoops. So it's like that's even crazier stuff to be like, okay, dude, laser weapons, yeah. Yeah, we have laser guns now.
No, it can go horribly, guys. Next, we can just harvest energy from hell. Keep up the good work, guys.
Antimatter. Deatomization, vaporization, one shot, one kill. Literally.
We develop new weapons to solve the problems of current weapons. So, right? Like, Invention in weaponry is the same as everything else. They don't just make it for fun. It's like, yeah, we made this laser just for fun. Well, okay, so if laser guns do happen, it will be because nerds made it and was like, this is fun. We were trying to make a lightsaber, but we made laser cannons. But like, you know, the crossbow was made to pierce chainmail, and chainmail was made to block regular arrows, which pierce through plate armor. And so, yeah, like, what is the problem with weapons today that they would have to make?
Develop laser weapons?
what is the reason to jump to laser weapons?
There isn't one. Tropical.
And the thing with laser weapons, though, is you wouldn't... Like, we see them in movies and stuff, and people can dodge them, but since lasers move at the speed of light, like, you can't dodge them.
Like, you see them basically be pierced by them.
Yeah, the moment you saw the laser gun pointed at you, you're already dead.
That's why it'd be so devastating. It's like, there'd be no actual fight. It'd just be like, you press the trigger and everything in your vicinity is dead. Because, like, it's like, guys, mistakes are made, and this was probably a bad idea.
I guess, like, you know, why would your laser need to be directional? It could just be this cone-shaped laser that comes out.
Just, like, vaporize entire squads of people at once. It's like, yeah, we're good, guys. We're done here. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just not be good.
So what you're saying is small arms, like guns that fire bullets, are not necessarily the trademark of Call of Duty. It's the grounded in realism, since laser guns are not realistic.
Sure, why not?
I think I'm going for Battlefield 1, then. I think I have all the Call of Duties, don't I?
Maybe.
I have all of them from 2 onward. Oh, except for 4, which for some reason I sold.
It's probably for the best.
That was the best one.
Was it?
I think so. That I can't remember which one we played them. I can't remember which one we played the most. Might have been. Might have been Black. Or no, it's Modern Warfare 2. That's right.
Trail Power.
Power. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Has it been what you've been playing?
Yes.
Cool, guys. Cool. Let's talk about all the things I've been playing.
What have you been playing, Richard?
Nothing.
No, that's so sad.
Just kidding. But it's just pretty much the same stuff. I've been working my way through Raid Gigant and Tokiden Kiwami or whatever.
Extreme
Tokiden. Yes. But I've mostly just been playing Bravely Default, which I'm at the point Bravely Second. I'm at the point where where the twist happened in like Bravely Default, so I'm gonna see how that all goes and everything. But it's like, one note to Square Enix is like, I feel like they shouldn't have to do the theme song after every single chapter, because it's like, okay, the first two times it's like, okay, this is okay, but then by the fifth time I'm like singing along in Japanese and it's like, okay guys, I think it's time we stop this, because you can only do this so much, where it's like, okay guys, you don't need to see the opening theme in the movie every single time you finish a chapter. It's a bit much. So
Netflix understands this.
Cause they're like, oh yeah, because that's true, because they skip it, don't they?
Yeah, Netflix auto-skips the opening and endings.
It's like, okay, this is getting a bit, getting a bit much. But, yeah. So, I mean, I've pretty much just been making my way through that. I don't know if there's really much to say about it that I haven't already said, so... Yeah, pretty much all I've been playing.
Okay.
All right. I guess I'm going to ramble on here, so feel free to join. This will be a combo middle segment into the news, because this week we got news from the other side, Microsoft. Various different sources, so it's probably true. They are planning two new Xbox Ones in the coming year. Coming 2 years, sorry. One of them is a slim Xbox One, which, according to some sources, says that it will be 40% smaller than the current Xbox One, and they're gonna show it at this year's E3. Then the second one is something called Codename Scorpio, which is a more powerful Xbox One, or more powerful Xbox that apparently will be like, have a much more powerful GPU. They're working on like a partnership with Oculus Rift so that they can get that on that system. It's like, it's even more powerful than the rumored PlayStation Neo. Lots and lots of stuff. Basically, yeah, it's a
the crash.
The world is changing. It's the happening. World is changing.
We predicted it. Microsoft also had a chart, and they're like, "Dudes, 50%." They both had 50% plans, apparently, and yeah, thanks, guys. You ruined it for everybody.
So we can look at this. There's like many different things to draw from this. One is like, remember when they announced the PS4 was going to have x86 architecture? It was basically like Mark Cerny saying something like, oh yeah, basically I went out to investigate if the x86 could be used, which is like basically the PC, Windows PC architecture. He went to investigate if that was something that they could use for consoles. And then, well, that begs the question, like, why didn't anyone ever think that they could use that? And I think it was because, you know, consoles were designed for having this like longevity, where so they would great. Stay around a little so while. Great.
It's like, why did we use this in the first place? I don't know. 10-year lifespan, maybe. Whatever, dudes. These are it'll be so much easier to develop for. But lifespan, dude. Whatever. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, I was like, I think it was about lifespan. It was about this, you know, this proprietary technology that, given enough time, there'll be sort of in-generational evolution of games. Like, they'll get better, and it'll just be the same hardware for a number of years. And x86, I guess the view was like, well, it's like, it doesn't have that longevity. It's going to, you know, it gets replaced so often that if you make one based on x86 right now, by next year, it is like not really a thing. And so another thing that they talked about when they revealed the PS4 was like, yeah, it's x86, but it has these, I forget what they're called, like, was it physics compute cores or whatever? And it was just like, oh, this other hidden processing power in here that over time, if people figure out how to use it, then you'll get better, like more and more performance and better stuff. So it was like, it felt like it was sort of in between. And now we're hearing all this stuff, and it feels like maybe they chose x86 because it was like, yeah, we don't want to make processors anymore. Let a processor-making place make the processors, and we'll just buy newer ones more frequently. Which is kind of like, that's kind of, it feels kind of horrible. Although I don't really know. I feel like developers make console games because I used to make websites, and just like websites, just making websites meant you had to test them on 3 different browsers. Or at one time it was like 4 different browsers, like Netscape, Mozilla, Firefox, Chrome was just coming out, and Internet Explorer. Netscape. And they all followed like different standards, and every time you'd make this very simple page and open it on 4 different browsers, and it would all look different. And it's like, man, it would have been nice if there was just the one browser. I think that's what console development is like, or like why people make games for iPhone rather than Android. It's like, there's just the one, theoretically, it's just the one iPhone. Whereas Android, it's like, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of different Androids.
There's a lot of them.
So you gotta test on all of them. Whereas with iPhone, it's just like, oh, it's just the one. Consoles is like that too. Or it was. If this goes through, which it seems like it will, then it's like, now I'm making a PS4 games, I have to test it on 2 different PS4s, which isn't like a huge bunch more work, but that's, you know, assuming it's just 2 PS4s. What happens when there's 4 of them? What happens when Xbox gets in? It's like, now there are 3 different Xboxes, and, you want to make a Nintendo version? It's like, well, I don't know why, but that's another platform.
Add. Don't know why. That's great.
And so many. And that's just the developer side. Like, for consumers now, it's like, well, I guess in the case of Xbox, maybe we are lucking out now. Like, if you do want the most powerful Xbox, none of us have used any, like, so like Gamer's case, for example, he likes powerful boxes. he bought an Xbox One. And if they release a newer Xbox One, then he sort of loses out, right?
Yep. He's probably gonna buy it though. So,
I mean, it's true. Like, Microsoft doesn't lose out. They always get gamers' money. And
everyone always does.
It really does. I think it really does become that situation that we were talking about before, where it was like, now you don't buy a game, a console, and like Persona 5, you bought your PS4 for Persona 5. But while you have it, and Persona 5's not out yet, you can buy all these other great games that came out for the console, which are out right now. You can play them right now. I feel like people are going to do that less. They're just going to wait for the most powerful version that comes out right around the time of the game that they're actually waiting for to come out, and then get that one.
Especially if this is turning into the cell phone model theory that we devised last time we talked about this.
This doesn't feel like the cell phone model at all, though.
You said it now, Tropical. Phone... Then 12 months from now, like, man, everybody's just red ink everywhere. What were they thinking? Ugh. Stocks are tanking. Development studios are closing. publishers are going out of business. It'll be chaos. And then we'll be like, yeah, it's Crash Dudes, but we're here. And, you know, Mass Effect Andromeda's out, so I'm good. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But, yeah, we told you. We told you it was going to happen. And you didn't believe us. Look where we're
at. So we never listens until it's too late. Until it's too late.
That's crazy. So what do you think this is? Like, Scorpio sounds like it would be
a Zodiac sign?
Well, the villain from a Bond movie?
I mean, I was about to say, it's like, I mean, there'll be many guesses that aren't, basically that aren't like a console.
Do you think it's basically the next Xbox then? Because like with Neo, you know, nothing has come out officially, but for Neo, it sounds like Neo is supposed to be the sort of a premium PS4. It's a PS4 that runs everything better, theoretically. Whereas Scorpio sounds like it's like it's not an Xbox One.
That's so
it's
weird,
like
though, because
something
it's
else.
Coming to the market so soon after Xbox One. So it's like, what were their, like, was this their plan all along? Is like what I'm thinking now. It's like, were they just gonna like, well, if we're not winning in the first 2 years, F it. Push the button, dudes.
I kind of think it was the plan all, or if it wasn't, like, the architecture of our consoles now makes it easy for them to decide to do these things midway. Because they don't have to spend years and years developing a new chip. Like, AMD is always developing new chips in their R&D department. So they just have to go out and be like, hey, like, what do you have coming down the line in 2 years? Can we buy that for our next console?
It's like, sure, but it's going to be obsolete by the time you use it.
I mean, I think, like, a good thing that seems to be coming out of this is that backwards compatibility is going to be
here to stay.
Better, I guess. I mean, it turns into that thing that we've said before on the podcast where it's like, if you play your old PC games on a new PC, it's like their new games.
This now is like in VR.
Sort of like that.
Uncharted 4. I guess it didn't work like that, so actually not so much. ..
This is sort of like that. So I guess that's good. But then, yeah, it sort of becomes like, we are not united by the same hardware anymore. We don't, we will have the same games, but we'll all be on different hardware, potentially.
Oh no!
Wow, now there really will be console peasants.
Play.
I got my PS4 at launch, and I never upgraded. I am forever a console peasant. Ugh, I can't afford
you're
it.
Like,
and I'm never gonna get one.
Basically, people look like, ugh, you're one of those
different console classes.
It's like you're the reason why they're holding back Destiny, because it's like, ugh, they have to keep catering to you. It's like, oh dear, this is gonna get messy. This is gonna get messy, guys.
Yeah, I think there's different problems that maybe they aren't thinking of, and maybe both of them seem to be doing that that thing that Microsoft did when they announced the Xbox One. They're like, Xbox One was completely about corporate goals. Like, we want to be in the living room. We want to be the one box in the living room. We want everything to be, you know, online DMR. You know, forget what the consumer wants. Like, they will want what we give them because they love Xbox.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh man,
yeah, this feels
down.
Like that too. It's like they're doing it because of what they want, not what the people want.
And it's like, now the more I think about it, I think you're right. I think they had this plan B all along of like, well, if this doesn't go our way, we have Scorpio in the back, just in case. We'll show those study suckers. Ah, ha, 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 ha. They'll never reach 100 million units in the PS4. We'll never let them. We'll never, yeah, it's like, win at all costs, because we have infinite money.
Yay, money!
It's like,
money,
yeah,
money,
it's like that one Office RPG is always talking about in Microsoft building where like they're always like panicking and like, ah! It's like they have cameras. It's like Scorpio team is like, it's okay, dudes. We got this. If it keeps going this way, everything's cool. Believe. Project Scorpio will save us all.
It won't.
It feels sort of lazy. Like, It used to be, oh, you know, how do you make your games better and better on the same hardware? It's like, well, you work harder at it. You figure out new stuff. It's like innovation. But now it's like, oh, we'll just brute force everything.
We'll just make new, more powerful consoles.
Yeah, it's so like, we'll just get better hardware, and then we can be as sloppy as ever and make stuff better.
I don't think that's how you're supposed to be doing that. I think we're doing this wrong.
It's like how you say, like, oh, it's like just a bigger bucket. You can just pour it in. It's like, well, no worries, guys. You'll have bigger buckets all the time, every day. just wish it, and we'll give you a bigger bucket because it's not getting any smaller. Don't worry about working inside the refines of some sort of programming thing that you can't figure out because you don't have enough memory or whatever. We'll just keep on keeping on and pushing it up.
Yeah. Like, this situation, it introduces a lot of uncertainty for consumers. It's just like, when is the time to buy? And, you know, it was sort of different between consoles, like PS3 and PS4. It's like, when is the time to buy a PS3? It's like, well, it's not really the same situation because PS3 and PS4 have different games. Sure, they have some of the same games, and they run better on PS4, but they're other games that you can only get on PS3. And now it's like, from what it sounds like, the games will run on any of the systems. And it's like, okay, so when do you buy? People aren't going to know when to buy. Sales are definitely going to go down. And yeah, I guess it totally depends on software then in that world. You have to make the software that everyone wants, and that's when everyone buys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be very... Yeah, so in the next 2 years, I guess we don't get our MPDs, the way that we've come to think of them, are just going to be totally gone. Everyone's going to be saying, in the PlayStation family, we sold. In the Xbox family, yeah. We sold. Across the Xbox platform, we sold. And we'll just sit there and say, ah. Although, on the other hand, like, why did that stuff even matter to us ever anyways?
Because now you know which platform to buy them on. It's like, well, it's selling more on this one. That means more of my friends must have it, which means more people I can play with on this one.
Or you could, like, talk to your friends.
Nah, that makes too much sense. Just like this model. Just...
50%, guys. 50%. Oh man!
Although
I'm like 1,000% sure that's like a conspiracy theory now, or like that's like my personal conspiracy theory now. Which is like Scorpio was like a background like project this entire time of like, dudes, if this doesn't work, Xbox One tanks. Like it's probably not going to because we're like totally awesome and on top of the world right now because everybody loves Xbox. Blah, blah, blah. But just in case, keep work on this thing for like the next 5 years. Your R&D budget is like limitless. Just bells and whistles all over the place, dudes, and just, like, make it awesome. Because, you know, PS4 could just, like, it could happen. You never know, so.
Sony could never rebound after the PS3.
Right? They got so arrogant. They're like, just in case, we need a backup plan. Enter Scorpio.
Actually, I guess when you think about it, it might be... I mean, it'll suck for, like, buying hardware and stuff, but it might be really cool because then it really does put the emphasis on the games. Like, only the games will matter. Because, you know, these days, you can go out and ask, like, shopkeeper, oh, which one should I buy? And they can say things like, well, the PS4 is more powerful, so you should buy the... And, you know, among other reasons, you should buy the PS4. But in the future... If there's like constantly newer and better hardware, then it really does fall to the games to convince anyone to buy the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a good thing.
Or.
Cause like no. how I see it is, you know, they, for example, like Neo comes out and they're going to price it at a console price, you know, not a PC price. So it's going to be, you know, $400 or whatever. And so at that point, it's like, well, you still got this not as powerful PS4. What happens to that one? It's like, well, if we still want to sell it, it's got to be cheaper, significantly cheaper, probably. And then, you know, because it's about the games, then like you don't care which one people buy as long as they're buying one of your platforms to play your games. because, you know, like digital platforms and stuff. So you're going to be, I still think this is a ploy to get more people onto the platform, not as hardware, but as software. You know, imagine if Neo comes out and it's $400 and they drop PS4 to like $150 or $100. How many people are going to buy a $100 PS4?
I would buy another one, just saying.
I think a lot of people.
Oh,
and then once they have it, then it's like, oh, hey, PlayStation Plus is required to play with friends.
As you're saying, no, it's like, well, you thought 1080p was amazing. Let's introduce you to 4K, but then you're going to buy a TV. It's like, whoa. At that point, I will be like, just like what happened in 3D, it's like, whoa, dude. Taking out the money for that.
It's like it escalated quickly.
I don't think that's what they're going to sell it on.
Surprise, motherfucker.
I don't think Neo's gonna be sold on that.
Because you would need a 4K TV to use that anyway, correct? Or
yeah.
No. Neo is just more powerful hardware. So one of the things it could do, yes.
Well, I mean, like
push more like pixels
in order to, you know, give you like, I guess, like the more powerful software. You would need like a TV that could actually do it, right?
No, you wouldn't. It's more similar to like the PC situation right now, whereas like my PC is such as it is, and I think Tekken's is way better than mine. So he could play, you know, Arkham Asylum with all the settings on high or whatever, and I can only play them on medium.
Rude.
Actually, I don't think I can even do medium. But yeah, like it would be something like that, where it's like, so the PS4 base model that exists right now would be like on medium settings, and then the Neo would be on high settings.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But, you know, then it's like, oh, now we got two different audiences. Like, there are people out there who probably want a PS4 right now, but it's not $100. Man, I think PS2 sold.
Weird, it's like, if you think about it in that perspective, like, you could just, like, infinitely prolong this console generation until you feel like making another PlayStation proper number one, or just never do it and be like, well, you're just going to be low spec forever PS4, and then everything else will be better spec. So, ha ha ha.
Although, I mean, I guess technically they would, like, eventually it's going to, like, a console will be released that's powerful enough in the family that would count as, like, a new generation. Because, I mean, it's like, eventually there's going to be, like, a leap in what it can do. Because, I mean,
well, so yeah, like that depends on what you want to do. Cause like, if you do get to a point where it's a generational leap in power, then you decide, it's like, well, do we just call this the new one, or do we, you know, keep supporting the old hardware and, you know, with software that works on it, but then we're not taking advantage of the new hardware? And it's like, it gets very strange. Or maybe this is the last generation of PlayStation.
And from now on,
you know, the PS4 works with PlayStation now pretty well. Maybe in the future it's like, oh yeah, your PS4, you connect to PlayStation now and you can play what we once would have called PlayStation 5 games. Yeah, this feels more like, and you know, again, I guess this is all conjecture, but if they drop the price the way that I'm thinking on the base one, then it becomes all about getting more people on your digital platform. As many people as you can get.
I guess you're right, because like, then from like a revenue standpoint, if they made all that money, like we talked about when they made so much money versus Nintendo, it's like, oh, we're just going to sell software. It's just going to be a software, software buy-in from now on. Who cares about hardware?
Yeah, it's like, how much you make on the hardware.
It all runs the same. It might look a little bit, you know, better or worse, whatever, but it looks amazing, so at the end of the day, what's it?
Although, all things considered, I feel like if this generation is, like, the worst-looking generation of the growth, I think we're going to be okay. It's, like, it's not going to be, like, a big deal of these extra resolutions and releases for these things, because it's, like, I mean,
I played Uncharted 4, like, I guess I'm kind of reaffirmed after that. It's, like, okay, well, if this is the worst thing, it'll be... Whatever you need. I'll never upgrade. Guff yourself, PlayStation Neo and everything else after it.
It's like I probably wouldn't like upgrade until somewhere down the line where they'd like say, oh, well, this so-and-so game is like this version exclusive or something. Then it's like, okay, now I have to upgrade. But it's like until then, it's like there'd be no real reason to, because it's like, well, the thing kind of already looks great, so it's not like I'm losing out on anything. So.
I probably would get a Neo, but not for any reasonable reason like that. Just like, yeah, because I like the way it looks sitting next to the other ones.
That's topical. You have Gamer 812 syndrome.
That's just how I roll.
you should stop yourself. Check yourselves into clinics.
Xbox, when I think about Xbox One, it's like, okay, I don't have the time to play any of these games, so that's why I didn't buy one. Plus, you know, $400. And then it got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and it got to the point where I saw one, it's like, oh, four games in an Xbox One for $150? It's like, almost. The time argument still matters, but man, that's getting really cheap. But then they announced, all future Xbox games will be on Windows 10. It was like, well, I mean, a new PC is definitely more useful than a new Xbox One. So there's a reason to get an Xbox PC rather than an Xbox One, except it costs a lot more. And then you hear about, Scorpio, it's going to be a way powerful Xbox One. It's like, well, now they're really is zero reason to buy a current Xbox One.
Because there's a more powerful one coming.
There's a more powerful one coming on the way, or if I somehow get money, then I'll just buy that new PC.
It's true. You know what? I'm just going to buy a Wii U. F it. Like, I'm taking the third option, guys. Just like, F everybody, just buying a Wii U. We're done here, guys. Which, I mean, I still can't see how that hasn't dropped in price enough yet, because it's like, come on, guys. If you've already given up on the Wii U, why haven't they, like, dropped the price to, like, GameCube levels, where I can just be like, okay, I'll take six, and then just, like, I'll play each one depending on the day of the week it is, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know. Because I kind of want one, but it's like, they won't drop the price. I don't know what's going on.
So, the funny thing about all of this new hardware talk is, like, none of it is official. Oh, except the NX. Like, I guess we know that's coming out in March 2017. But giving up on the Wii U, that is not official. That was a rumor. These new Xbox, PS, PlayStations, like, that's all from reliable sources, but we don't know the official word on anything yet.
Well, the only reason why we don't is because E3 is, like, in a few weeks, so they're probably like, okay, we'll go ahead and let the landslide happen, but it's like too, because every time they try to deny rumors, then it's like, you're basically confirming it, because that means it's happening, guys, so it's like, they're probably just like, you know what, just let them think whatever, and then once the time comes, we'll actually reveal all this stuff. Cause...
So yeah, like on the news front for these, or like the actual news coming out, they say that the timeline for Neo is accelerating. And so that might actually come out in the fall, which means they probably definitely have to announce it at E3. And in response to that, Microsoft is sort of like, oh man, we gotta do it sooner. So originally they weren't going to announce the Scorpio at E3, but now maybe they will be.
Dun, dun, dun.
Their hands be interesting, because that would, to some extent, play into Nintendo's hands, but not at a good extent, because you have, like, Sony and Microsoft with new hardware at this E3, and then Nintendo with nothing to show, because they're not going to show NX this year. But then next year, they have, like, the, like, everything to themselves as far as, like, oh, hey, guys, we got new hardware. But then it's like they're late to the party again. So it's like,
yeah,
good job, Nintendo. You messed up again.
It's like they're always kind of late to the party. And then it's like the fact that they delayed this whole NX thing until March.
Yeah, like we all knew it was already coming, and you still couldn't, like, make us happy, because we've already been made happy by Sony and Microsoft. Good job. Good job, Nintendo. This is why we broke up. This is why we can't be together. This is, yeah.
Sure. That's Taylor Swift's song. They're never coming back together. And all that other fun stuff. I don't know, man. Nintendo, get it together. Just get it together. But that is good, though, because E3 is only like when is E3 this year? Like, it's like the 14th or the 16th or something, right?
Yeah.
Or,
yep.
I need to remember to be sick that week. Like, sorry, guys, I died yesterday. I'll be back on Wednesday.
Is there any, like, benefit to having a more liquidous type of, like, we could bring out a new console at any moment because these processors are so cheap and we can just slap in some memory, blah, 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 blah. Like,
I don't know. Maybe there's some golden lining to this apocalypse crash that we've predicted, but I just don't see it. So I'll say.
I think it's the games being the ultimate sort of determinant of whether or not you buy a piece of hardware.
I mean that would be great, but I feel like that's not going to be the case. I feel like this is going to seem like a good idea on paper, and then, like, in the case of Microsoft, they're probably going to, like, advertise the wrong thing for the console, and it's like, oh, thanks, I guess? I don't know.
Like, I think it's going to be a lot harder to sell hardware, and so hardware is going to become very sort of price-dependent. Like, people will be very price-sensitive to hardware, and then the thing that makes, like, what you use to sell the hardware now, it's not going to have anything to do with the hardware itself. It's going to be software first and then hardware. Which is that's kind of flipped, right? Like, it's always been,
yeah, it is flipped.
They always came out and were like, hey, our hardware does this. Here's lots of ducks. And it's like, oh, it's like, it's powerful. And like, and then, later it was, features like, ours can control your TV by talking to it.
TV guys, sports, other stuff that gamers like, things, confetti, money.
But yeah, like, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. It's like, well, sure, will the next one do that? Like, oh, I can't tell you that. Like, that means it will, so I'll come back when that one is out because it'll be better. But that's like an endless cycle, so you will never buy hardware based on if it's good enough.
So basically you're telling me I'm never going to end up with the current generation Xbox.
You're going to see a game that you want to play, then you'll be like, all right, I want to play that game on Xbox. Which Xbox do I buy? And then you'll have choices.
I mean, what are the odds of them producing a game that I want that I'll have to buy a console for? I mean, come on. Let's be honest, guys.
Well, I mean, even with PlayStation, it's going to be like that.
Yeah, but they're more likely to have games I want than... I mean, let's look at Microsoft's track record now.
I'm using them interchangeably right now, since they're, like, doing similar stuff.
Because I have yet to see an Xbox One game where I was like, oh yeah, when I get an Xbox One, this is the first game I'm buying.
Not Cuphead? The Last Hope Cuphead?
No. Not at all.
Tropical. You added a subtitle to it.
I was like, wait, The Last Hope. I was like, actual name for that.
What was it in the beginning? The Mythical 11?
It's like, oh, the, yeah, 11. The Legendary 11 or something. The Legendary 11. That was great.
All those are gone now. Now it's just, I guess ReCore is still. And, what's that dragon game? Scalebound.
Oh, my Scalebound.
It's like games we know next to nothing about that you cling to, because that game will be the one that proves your console is better. I mean, it was Quantum Break, but then that didn't happen. And so it's like, well, Cuphead.
Those sales numbers, haha.
Cuphead is going to be the one.
I sincerely doubt people are going to be running out of buy Xbox One for Cuphead. But okay. We'll play along for now. We'll play along. Scalebound does look kind of cool, though, but I mean, I'm assuming that's eventually going to get ported, so I'm not overly concerned.
Well, it will definitely be on PC, I think. Yeah. I think every Microsoft published game is going to come out on Windows 10.
Well, I need a new computer anyway, so
yep.
I still won't have an Xbox One.
That's what I've been saying. They have destroyed any reason for me to get an Xbox One ever. Unless they give it to me.
Like, here, just have it, because we know you're not going to buy it. Just take it.
Actually, Chapter, that's a good point, is like, if both sides just keep, like, escalating their hardware, it's like, you're less likely to jump ship from one side to the other and, like, have both. It's like, if I'm going to stay with one, I'm trying to stay with one, because I'm going to keep up on my hardware.
You're going to
be tied to the software platform,
yeah.
PSN, that's where or Xbox Live. Yeah, not the hardware.
This is the
plan. This is how, this will either, and yeah, so is it going, this, that's the question, like, does it become nuclear warfare where everyone loses?
There are no winners.
Or will it just become this crazy warfare where, like, exclusive games are going to matter so much more when you can't sell your hardware based on hardware specs? It's going to be all about the games. So, you know, maybe not for us, but, like, if Star Wars Battlefront 2 comes out only for one platform, in a world where the hardware platforms are constantly being upgraded, it's like, yeah, you're going to buy the one that it's coming to and not the other one.
And the hardware matters. Bundle with our new hardware SKU that's coming out in 6 months, and you won't be able to get it with the other hardware.
Actually, I do wonder how frequent these upgrades would happen too, because it's like, if it's like multiple, if you're ending up with like two consoles a year or some nonsense like that, it's like, okay, I don't know if I like that.
I don't think it's like ridiculous. But then again, I do see the incoming, so maybe like they'll both turn into Activision. Like, we couldn't help ourselves, dudes. One every quarter this year, and
one every quarter.
That'll be the last year of both of them.
Well, so what I was thinking last week was like, what I was thinking that Neo might be the only one. So it's just going to be PS4 and Neo. Because if you go 2 years after that, like, the hardware is going to be good enough that you could make something that's a completely new version. Or what might happen would be, well, it's going to be, yeah, it depends on what is motivating this course of action. If they just want to be able to one-up each other, then it's like, yeah, they can just do it forever, and that will be the end of console gaming. if it's about getting people on their platform, then, yeah, the reason that console generations have been the length that they've been is because they wait for that generational leap in technology. Otherwise, like, when you come out with your middle versions, then those don't tend to do well. Like, 32X was the, like, middle hardware revision, right?
Yep.
For the Sega Saturn or Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And that didn't do that well. Because people... What was the thing? When this all started, like, was Atari 2600 came out and people bought it. And then a few years later, Atari 5200 came out. And no one wanted that one. Because, you know, at the time, people thought about their electronics like, you've had your, you know, TV for 20 years. You've had your stereo for 20 years. I was like, and, you know, now, like, 4 years later, you're saying I have to buy a new console?
Yes.
And, you know, that it just didn't go that well. And so are they betting that now people are like, oh, yeah, it's been a year. I should have a new phone.
Ugh. F you, telecom companies. F you. F you all in the D.
Although I don't buy a new phone every year, though. I usually wait like Apple's fault. I wait like four generations of phones before I buy a new one. So,
but yeah, even then, like, it's going to be strange because we're so used to like the leap from PS1 to PS2. Like, oh my gosh, Ridge Racer and Gran Turismo look so different on those two consoles. And then to PS3, I was like, oh, it's a little bit less, but it was still, you know, a generational leap. And PS4. Like, even Uncharted 3 compared to Uncharted 4 is just, like, amazing, amazing improvements across the board. And so, if we start having incremental hardware releases, then, like, we won't be able to notice that kind of leap anymore, because we'll see all the middle steps, too.
Yeah, so your eyes will just be adjusted to it by the time it happens, so it's like, oh, well, looks pretty.
So yeah, like, if that becomes the case, then it's like, do they even make a PS5, or do they just keep making incremental PS4s?
Man, that'll be weird. Maybe they do just keep making PS4s until they're like, time for number 5, guys. We can't do any more of this 20 years later. It's like, alright, we're gonna George Lucas it, and the technology is now ready where we can put a new number on our hardware.
I wonder if at that point, do they do things like Nintendo did, where instead of just making better hardware, they make the hardware do interesting stuff?
Or there's that. Or they could just not significantly increase it and just like put another number on it just because they can and be like, whatever. We do whatever we want.
You know how many iPhones there are? Well, they change their names all the time, so why can't we change our hardware names all the time? Huh. Yeah. And then by the end of the decade, we'll have PlayStation 10. It'll be great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like, was it iPhone 3?
Also, it seems like it would be, it seems like it would be easier from a consumer standpoint if, like, they did change the name a few times instead of just like, oh, it's still a PlayStation 4, it just does this. So.
Yeah.
Like, man, I feel sorry for the game employee people who have to, like, sell these things, because it's like, okay. Yeah, need
just,
a
just
new
go back
console.
To the Wii U finasco.
Vendor, right? It's like, this is about to get super fun.
I actually don't think it'll be that hard. You know, that part of the job is actually kind of fun.
For you, maybe.
Telling people stuff that they don't understand. It's like, yeah, this is the fun part. And, you know, a lot of the difficulty that we imagine right now is because of all the uncertainty. Like, we don't know anything really. But when they're actually selling them in the stores, they will know.
No, man, because I've come across a lot of incompetent employees. So.
Oh, I can't find your kitchen printer. Could you let me look at this drawer? Oh, it's not here either. Oh, let me just slide this over. Oh, no, it's not there either. Oh, let me just keep looking.
Like you're fired.
30 minutes
you're
later.
Fired.
Oh, I don't know if it's here.
GameStop employees.
That was a great story.
Oh, gosh.
I think numbering. Maybe that's why it's called Xbox One. Because then they have all the way up to 360. Because, like, numbers, I think, are the easiest. Yeah, I think it was iPhone 3 that was just called the new iPhone. It wasn't called iPhone 3. It was just called the new iPhone. So it was, like, iPhone, iPhone 2, and then the new iPhone.
Oh, they did a 3DS? Ugh, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
The new 3DS. I would like to buy the new iPhone. It's like, a new iPhone or a new iPhone? I want a new iPhone.
Just like we're doing this, aren't we?
So yeah, like if they named each one something different, it would be like the Android software updates. Like, which one is better, gingerbread or marshmallow?
I don't.
Or was it Kit Kat?
I need an adult. I need an adult.
See, like, yeah, I don't think that works. I think numbers are easy. So maybe Xbox One was named so that they could name the next one Xbox 2,
although,
Xbox 3, Xbox 4, until 360. Time, though,
when that means, like, eventually people are going to, like, assume that the 360 is the more powerful one in the group. Like,
well, no, because 360 was actually popular in this country, so they know that one.
But parents might not. They're not all smart. It's not going to help.
I imagine it now. They're like, going, Xbox 2 or Xbox 360? Like, Xbox 360 is way cheaper. It sounds way more powerful.
Oh gosh, that is great. That is great. Let's see. 1, 2, or 360? 360 is such a higher number. There's no way it could be less powerful.
Like, oh,
but see, that would happen right now. Do I get Xbox One or do I get Xbox 360?
I'm hoping, like, in this case, at least the employees are smart enough to, like, point that out. It's like, come on now. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess the point of this all was we don't know. Also, we had no planned middle segment, and so it was just fun to ramble on
for a little while. You're welcome.
You may have noticed all the clunky transitions between random thoughts. It was very stream of consciousness.
Fuck this. That's what we do.
So that was the middle segment. Yay.
You're super welcome.
All right. Let's look at the rest of the news. Where's my news?
Good job. So I can't have nice things, guys. Freaking out nice things.
Oh man.
So
well, so GT Sport, was that this week?
Yeah.
We got to see GT Sport the first time. Did you watch the reveal thing?
I did not. I just watched the trailer.
Oh. So
I watched some of it. I was like, they're just talking. I want to see gameplay, and I just like stopped watching.
What did you think of the gameplay trailer? Like,
looks like Gran Turismo. I wasn't blown away, so I was like, whatever, man. I guess I'll wait to get my hands on it and be blown away in real life.
I feel like, and actually there was an article on Eurogamer that sort of says the same thing, but I feel like they don't care about any of that stuff. The things that blow you away when you're looking at a trailer are visuals, right?
Sometimes.
And I don't know that Polyphony Digital cares. They care about the cars, but beyond that, they're just like, eh.
I kind of feel that, like, we're just
we are all about the cars.
I kind of just feel like at a point, like, we're right now with, like, graphical, wow, there's a word I was going to say, fidelity. That, like, with, like, racing games specifically, it's just, like, they all look good. It's, like, all the cars look like real cars, so it's, like, you can't just be, like, oh, this looks so much better than the last one, because they all look really, really good. So it's, like, can you even tell them apart when you look at... I mean, you can tell, like, which game, but it's, like, they all look good, so it's, like, it doesn't... It's, like, okay, well, it doesn't look terrible. That's... Yeah. I can see that, Tekken. Thank you for pointing that out. It doesn't look terrible. Yes, it looks amazing, just like all of them. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Captain Obvious. Okay?
Well, I think, like... So what they've tried to do, like, they do different things. So I think most racing games, like Project Cars and Forza, they have gone for other types of spectacle. Like, the cars, you can only make a car look so good, I guess, in a game, which is what you're saying. And so, like, Project Cars was like, oh, look at our rain effects. You remember, like, this gen is about rain?
Oh, that is true, actually, Tropical. They should have shown some rain, because that is what is making me hot this gen. Is like, when I see stuff wet, and it's just like, Need for Speed, it looks so good. Or just like, oh my gosh, the ocean scenes in Uncharted 4, oh my gosh. Ugh. Yeah. Or Arkham Knight, as much as I hate that game. Sorry, Rocksteady, I've done 180 on you. Looks amazing, and then right. What? Night. Oh, yes, the rain. Oh, so good. Yeah.
I think, Need for Speed, theirs was with rain, and I think the lights, the way that the lights sort of reflect when they're, like, the headlights when they're coming towards you, like, that's the look of, like, Need for Speed. And those are sort of, like, this is what makes the visuals pop. And Forza was about, it's like the smoke trails are very dramatic, and the, like, the environments are very colorful and super detailed. And Gran Turismo just looks like Gran Turismo. It's just like the cars look super amazing. And that's pretty much all they seem to care about. The tracks and stuff, they still look like Gran Turismo tracks. They don't have any of that spectacle. And, and I feel like it's not because Polyphony Digital is incapable. Like, if you assume incompetence, then there's nothing to talk about. I think they just don't care. Like, they only care about the cars. I don't know that resonates with gamers. I think it resonates with people who love Gran Turismo, but if you're just about, like, racing games and, like, games and stuff, then I don't know that plays to that audience anymore. But it was really cool. Like, if you watch the entire presentation, they had a real FIA, like, trophy awarded in the end to the winner. And, the thing that impressed me was, I think they're going
esports?
Really heavy into esports. Yeah. Cause the replay, like, replays are so important in esports. The year I spent watching esports, like, if you've got a good spectator mode, it means that when I'm watching, I understand what's going on, and you can have replays in case I didn't catch what you were talking about, so that you can show me what you were talking about, and GT Sports seems to have all of that. In fact, they're talking about, apparently, if you do well enough in GT Sport, you can get a real-life FIA driver's license.
What?
I feel like that's not a good idea.
That is insane. It's like, oh, I just play video games, but now I'm a race car driver.
I mean,
that basically be like, I feel like that would be like awarding somebody like a black belt for being great at Mortal Kombat or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's how that works, guys.
But see, that's the thing that with Gran Turismo that they've been doing. Like, GT Academy was just that. It's like, the question was, if you're super good at Gran Turismo, can you be a real race car driver? And apparently the answer was yes, because those people have gone on to be real race car drivers that do pretty well at these races.
Are they sure these people weren't already, like, semi-professional before they
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I've actually been, you know, driving race cars for a while now. But I decided to pretend like this game actually helped me do it because I'm a liar. And I live my life with my pants constantly on fire.
The way that entering professional racing used to be was, like, you need to be pretty well off and you needed to be able to join, like, these, sort of go-kart racing leagues. And then from there, you, like, moved up. This was kind of explained in GT 5 or 6 or something like that. And then, so, you know, with this model now, it's like, you can graduate from Gran Turismo, which is way cheaper than all of that.
Yes, it is.
And become a professional racer.
With the reason is why it's cheaper than all of that. But it's cool. It's cool.
I think this is really cool. I like
this not backfiring on anyone ever.
I like how they're sort of sticking to their guns, where it's just like I tweeted earlier today. I was like, this is why when people are talking about games as art, I think Gran Turismo, because especially compared to other racing games are out there to wow you. They want to show you these flashy visuals, like, wow, so you go and buy that game. And Gran Turismo, like, I don't think they care about any of that. They're just like, we just want to make the best car simulation ever.
Especially after watching that documentary. They just care about, like, the authenticity of, like, this is what it's like to drive this car on this specific... Yep.
So when you read reviews of Gran Turismo and it's like, oh, the menus are clunky, loading times are slow,
online
is janky, it's like, they don't care about any of that. They just what did you think about the simulation of driving the car? It's like, well, that was amazing. It's like, that is all they care about.
That's like, all that mattered.
You think that they just don't know how to make online? It's like, I don't think that's the case. I think they were just like, this does not matter to me. We're going to make amazing, like, they could probably do all those things that you want from them, but they're just like, nope, our focus is, you know, like, remember he announced at, when they announced GT Sport, he was like, yeah, this is going to reinvigorate motorsport, like, not driving games. Like, he was talking about the entire sport of automobile driving.
Everything.
That's great. Yep.
And it's like, that is so cool. So I'm very excited about this. I don't think it's going to look as good as other games, but I don't think that matters. I don't think it's going to sound as good. I don't think it's going to look as good, but
I don't care.
I think the esport part is going to be really fantastic because, you know, your game has to be watchable to be an esport. And man, watching all those esports, like, yeah, there's no way you can just take a game and then make it, like, that's why I think fighting games still is kind of one of the weaker esports, because unless you understand the fighting game already, you can't understand what's happening.
What's going on?
All you can understand is like, oh, KO, that guy won, left.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like right after Street Fighter V came out, there's like all these like guides of like what footies are, which is like one of the most basic things. If you know, like, you know, you're fighting games, it's like, you know what it is, but it's like there's like so many things like out there, like, oh, what are footies? So it's like, that was like really funny, especially like the way Capcom released that game of, like, you know, no story mode and just straight up, it's like, it was just straight up for the hardcore fans. It was like, man,
yeah.
That was weird.
So with like, what impressed me when I was watching, I think it was, what was the previous Call of Duty before Black Ops 3? But yeah, like, when you're watching in spectator mode, it has, like, wall hacks, basically. So you can see, you're still looking first person through the eyes of whatever player you're following, but it has wall hacks enabled in spectator mode, so you can tell when people are coming. Still not that good. I think the best ones are, yeah, like, anything that has replays. Because stuff happens quickly in these games. So you need replays in order to go back and be like, so the commentators can be like, okay, this was that amazing play. This is what happened. And they can do it in slow-mo and, like, draw on the screen and stuff. Like, that's what you need. You need to.
Do they need to have the in-game though? Because all other sports, they like just have like production teams that like when they're telecasting it, they just replay it.
Yeah, but that's like because the telecasters don't build the world, you know, they just like report it. But games, like the developers build the world.
Oh wait, that's right, because it's a virtual world, so there's no virtual camera. Duh.
<I'm> like, so you need like virtual things built by the developers.
I was like, well, of course, they have the camera on the field, watching the people play. It's like, in a video game, there's no field.
They didn't build a field.
Yeah.
They didn't create light that bounces off the field and goes into the camera, which they also didn't build, so that people can see. Yeah. And so far, like, from watching the broadcast, I was like, wow, that was like, that is the only time I can remember watching an esports racing game. And it worked pretty well because Gran Turismo from the beginning has sort of mimicked the way that they broadcast real racing on TV. So yeah, this is going to be pretty cool. Apparently what they're going to do is going to like, is very focused on online play. On the weekends and stuff, there's going to be just tons of tournaments that will culminate in these giant tournaments in which the winners are recognized next to actual race car drivers who won stuff in actual race cars. Pretty insane. So we already talked about hardware stuff. Here's a small one. A Ron Gilbert, creator of Monkey Island, would like Disney to sell back Monkey Island. Because he feels like, you know, they just shut down their in-house game development and all that. And he feels like Disney might be one of those companies that just hoards IP and doesn't do anything with them.
They're like, hello, well, we have it. And well,
they kind of do. They're like, oh, well, like the stuff we're not currently selling that's like classics, just stick it in the vault. Whatever. It'll carry value. And then we'll just put it out. Let the fluffers have it. F them. And then we'll put it back in the vault, and they can't have it for who knows how long. Money, dear boy. Money.
Money! Money. I heart money. It's a great reason for everything. Great reason for everything.
Great reason.
Who knows what will come of this? It's just a thing that he said. And people were like, oh, he wants to make a Monkey Island game?
I know, right? It's like, wait, clearly this is what's happening, because it's like, oh, maybe he just wants, you know, that thing he made back. There's just that.
How much is he willing to pay?
Basically.
What was the news thing that we were talking about before we started recording?
E3. Live.
Oh, yes.
Open to the public. Live. Just like TGS.
Yay.
Because it's in a separate venue.
All right.
It's like a subset of E3 stuff.
That too.
At a different place.
And not all the things, just some of them.
But open to the public. Free tickets, which are probably gone.
They are. They tweeted it out earlier.
I know,
like,
oh, yeah.
Also don't. I was like, well, that was fast. That was like the same day. Because I was like, man, too bad I don't live in LA, .. Yeah, I didn't have enough, whatchamacallit, advance warning, or that's whatever. Next year, though, Aimless in L.A., E3 style, doing it.
That could be cool.
We should do that.
We totally, just, like, we totally just, like, crossed out packs of, like, F that crap, E3's at the top of us now.
It was funny, because when I saw this news story, most places had reported it as, like, first time ever E3 is open to the public.
I was like, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. E3 used to be open to the public. Then it got too big, and they're like, all right, all you random people, you don't get to come anymore. Also, we're moving to LA.
But didn't they also do E for All before as well, didn't they?
I don't think E for All was them. I think E for All was done by some other people.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Cause
yeah.
Like,
the year there was no E3.
I was like, oh, it was like for the public.
Yeah. Like, this is not the first time.
What you're saying is, you guys are all lies.
You guys are too young. All you headline writers are too young to remember. Oh, this was interesting. So an Overwatch fan with cerebral palsy thanked Blizzard for the customizable controllers in its new game because he just made his first snipe kill. He sniped someone for the first time ever. And it reminded me of recently Naughty Dog released a video about their accessibility features in Uncharted 4, which I hadn't heard about anywhere. Did you see that video?
I probably saw it. I didn't click on it.
I forget his name, but someone brought his concerns to the team saying, like, you know, he really loves Uncharted, but he couldn't beat Uncharted 2 because there's a part at the near the end where you have to mash a button, and he can't mash buttons. And so he just wasn't able to beat the game. And, you know, it was a lot about how, like, disabled people, you know, they want escapes as well, perhaps more than we do. And, you know, games are about doing things that you wouldn't be able to physically do. And so, yeah, Naughty Dog took it really seriously. And they made, like, if you go into the options in Uncharted 4, there's so many different things that they added. There's, like, so you can change it so that instead of mashing the button to open doors and stuff, you can just hold down the button. They added a whole bunch of, like, camera assists and, like, aim assists and things.
I did notice all the assist options when I was, like, looking through it the first time I played it, because I was like, why would I put that on?
Yeah.
Now I know.
And
it was nice of them, though.
Yeah, but it was really interesting. It's like, huh, like, no reviews. Well, interesting to me. It's like, no reviews that I read or anything that I read said anything about this stuff. The first I heard of it was when Naughty Dog came out and sort of, like, tooted their own horn. Not that I hold it against them, but I guess that's the only way I can think of is saying, like, they drew attention to it themselves. And that was the first time I heard of it.
I think part of it is because, like, it's one of those things, like, you take for granted, I guess, because, yeah, like, it's not something that we might need ourselves, but then, like, there are people who are gamers out there who do need, like, that, like, the extra, like, help and assistance to, you know, play these games because they want to play them too, like you said. So it's like, I think a lot of reviewers out there, it's not something that's, you know, it's like, well, I don't need these options, so I'm not going to mention them kind of thing. Like, if it's for somebody who, you know, actually makes use of them, then that's probably why. So that's probably why Naughty Dog had to be like, so by the way, guys, we totally did this. Because then we use jackholes. No, that's it, because we use jackholes to say anything about it. So, you know, thanks.
Well, that's my last news story, because this is going to devolve into another rant about reviewers. I'm just like, I hate reviews the way they are these days. Like, I don't like buyer's guides. You know, it's like buyer's guides, it just, reviewers should aspire to a higher calling, I think. It should be about, you know, the reason we can't really talk about games is because we don't really know how, because our vocabulary is so limited. Because reviews are so limited, it's just like, the gameplay is well done. The graphics are well done. And it's like, so basically you're telling me it's worth my money, but I'm not, you know, we aren't learning anything new here. I feel like reviewers should be teaching us about games in a way, or teaching the general public about games and, you know, pointing things out that you wouldn't. Pointing out obvious stuff is not useful to me. If you told me that, oh yeah, it's like Doom has really good graphics, it's like, okay. The only thing that tells me is that you think it looks really good, but you know what? Like, I could do that too because I have eyes.
That is great.
Yeah, so like basically reviewers shouldn't just be people who have the games telling people who don't have the games about the games. It should be like people who know and understand the game and like have noticed things about the game talking about those things that other normal people would not have noticed. And that is my rant.
Hilarious.
I think that would be much nicer. I think it would be much more, you know, then maybe it does become like games get better because the people who play them understand them better. And so you can't sort of get things by us as easily. Because right now, very easily, you make your game pretty enough in a trailer and people will just buy it. Because
it's like, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, it looks really good. And the reviews are like, yes, the graphics are really good. The graphics are well done. What does that even mean, really?
Well done.
And then it's like, okay. And then you buy it, it's like, and then there's all these little things that you don't even know how to discuss because you've never heard anyone say them before.
Like, what about these textures and these pop-ups and these pop-ins and all this other stuff? It's like, what's going on here? What's going on here?
Or then gamers' favorite, the frame rate.
Yeah. Before there was Digital Foundry, I think people did not care about resolution and frame rate the way they do now because no one even knew about them. We kind of knew about them, but then when it's like, oh, we are pixel counters and we're counting how many pixels it is so that we can tell you the native resolution of this game, that's when people start talking about it a lot. I was like, so that's like good that people know more now, but also bad because
people
that
know more now.
Doesn't really matter. Well, that doesn't, you know, that's not unrelated. It's bad because I don't think it really even matters that much, but it was good that people know stuff now. A little bit more stuff.
Yay!
Yay!
All right. I think there was like a news story where like Uncharted sold like 2.7 million copies or something. So
it did. Yes.
More than ever. Years and years of betting on Uncharted and being laughed at for betting on Uncharted by non-believers, I guess.
It's kind of been like a going theme with these sequels all selling like more than they ever have before, like recently.
It's because the natural state of things has been restored. PlayStation is back on top.
Because it's weird, because it's like, yeah, every single news story coming out, it's like, yes, this game is like the best launch ever for this series. This game is selling the most for this series. It's like, it's ridiculous.
I don't know. I feel like if you were a Halo fan and the only reason you loved games was because of Halo, you don't necessarily like to play Dark Souls. So why would you buy Dark Souls 3?
Because why not, I guess? Because, I mean, reasons.
All right. So I guess we'll sign off there and stuff. So, Tropical, cool. Where can they check us out at?
We have a website, aimlesspodcast.com, where you can download somewhat edited versions of the podcast. And follow us on the following places. Like, oh wait, that means two things.
Lies!
And YouTube, and Twitch, and iTunes. Although that one is subscribe. I don't know. Are there more? Nope.
Probably.
Yep, maybe.
Like everywhere, man. We're everywhere. Just search Aimless Podcast in Google, and there'll probably be like 20 different ways to guess, so.
Oh, that's great. I mean, just like, whatever, just search us in Google. You'll find us. You'll know
us. Search us on Google.
Search us on Google. That's like the first time I've ever like, said anything for that. It's like, actually, that's 100% true, because it probably won't work like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
We should figure out which one is the first result, though.
Anything to say before we sign off, RPG?
Try not to be a liar and live your life with your pants constantly on fire, because it's not a fun way to live, guys. It's not a fun way to live. Well, it could be, but probably not.
Hey, cool. It does go to aimlesspodcast.com. So yes, find us on Google.
Search us on Google. Oh man,
we are not the one on SoundCloud though. Who's this?
What's happening?
We're the first three.
Try to steal our thunder.
So yeah, I forgot to mention in Destiny, basically on my last two exotic class items, thank effing goodness. So next week I'll be like on my farewell tour of Destiny. Well, I mean, it's gonna be like a farewell tour in September, but like until September, but you know,
I can finally start it and be like, I've got everything except for Zen Meteor and like Chaperone and whatever, a few other things. It's whatever. I'm on my way out and I'm happy, so yay.
You're welcome.
You know, until next week or until you see us again. F the haters, and you can't spell grind without RNG, so may your loot drops be sweet and RNGesus be benevolent towards your amazing loot drops. And until you see your hair from Ziggy and Endless Babble Z,
like
and we're now signing off.